Translation: the individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and can be neither burned nor dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. Purport. All these qualifications of the atomic soul definitely prove that the individual soul is eternally the atomic particle of the spirit whole. And he remains the same atom eternally, without change. The theory of monism is very difficult to apply in this case, because the individual soul is never expected to become one homogeneously. After liberation from material contamination, the atomic soul may prefer to remain as a spiritual spark in the effulgent rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the intelligent souls enter into the spiritual planets to associate with the Personality of Godhead. The word Sarva-Katha, all-pervading, is significant because there is no doubt that living entities are all over God's creation. They live on the land, in the water, in the air, within the earth, and even within fire. The belief that they are sterilized in fire is not acceptable, because it's clearly stated here that the soul cannot be burned by fire. Therefore, there is no doubt that there are living entities also in the sun planet, with suitable bodies to live there. If the sun globe is uninhabited, then the word Sarva-Katha, living everywhere, becomes meaningless. Om Yatimanasya Genandana Sadakaya Chokshurun Minitanyena Tasmai Sikurayana Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sapitanyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Sikaro Sikapadakam Sikurun Vaisnavamsya Sīrūpaṁ sāgajātaṁ sādhanāvaratam dhitantam sajīvam sādhaitam sāvajitam parijanāsaitam kṛṣṇācitanidevam sīrādhākṛṣṇapadam sādhanāvarita sīrīsādhanam dhitamuścā sīkṛṣṇacitanyaprabhodhichananā sīyadvaitakirātar sīvācanigodhavaktavindā Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So here we are in the second chapter of the Gita. It is shortly after Arjuna has expressed his crisis to Lord Krishna. Arjuna, standing there, his bow, Gandiva, sliding from his hand. Arjuna, overcome by weakness. Arjuna, overcome by lamentation. Visidantam. And Krishna? Krishna Senyoguyoma Deva, between those two armies, Krishna Prahasana, smiling. So how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead smile between two armies that are about to attack one another? It looks like a very serious, grave moment. But Krishna Prahasana, not smile a little bit, but Prahasana is like really smiling, right? Smiling very strongly, very much. So how can Krishna smile like this? Is mysterious to Arjuna at the beginning of this chapter. But then Krishna begins to clarify why he's smiling. And Krishna begins to clarify the eternal position of the spirit soul. Asuncana Vasuchas Tram Praya Padams Javasa Sikatasuna Kasam Sushanti Pandita. You are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Or you say it in more contemporary language, you are getting all worked up about nothing. Right? It's totally not required. Everything is fine, actually. Everything is fine. Simply, Arjuna, you're getting all concerned about the impending material situation. And material situations are not truly a cause of concern. In this way, Krishna explains, and first of all, he explains the eternal nature of the spirit soul. And he makes it very clear that the soul cannot be destroyed in any way. In the previous verse also, Nainam Chinanti Sastrani, the soul cannot be dried, the soul cannot be burned, the soul cannot be drowned, the soul cannot be cut to pieces by any weapon. All these points Krishna has made. Now he continues, the soul is unbreakable, insoluble, cannot soak it and disappears overnight. Even in Coca-Cola, the soul will not disappear, although the body surely will. Right? About everything dissolves, but not the soul. It cannot be burnt. There's no such thing. As my soul got burned. Burned soul doesn't exist. Burned chapatis, yes, but you know, but no burned soul. I got burned. No, you didn't. No. Oh yes, I did. I got really burned. No, that wasn't you that got burned. Because the soul never gets burned. So this is significant. Because in so many situations we are experiencing how life is not always nice, and especially people. Life is one thing, people even worse. People are not always nice to us. Then we feel burned. The soul is never burnt. So that is important. Nor dried. Sometimes life also gets very dry. Too much dry. But the soul cannot in any way be affected by anything material. So this is these are some of the points. There's no way that the soul is ever affected. It is said the soul is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. That's our constitutional position doesn't change. Therefore, it is stated, Jivira Sarupai Krishna Nityadas. The eternal position of the Jiva is to be the eternal servant of Krishna, and nothing can change that. Nothing. Even if we don't want to be, it still cannot change. We are still the servant of Krishna. Therefore, everyone is a servant of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was asked how many devotees does your movement have? Prabhupada said, unlimited.
But some know it and others don't. That is all. That is all.
And this is our position. We are actually all devotees from Krishna. Always. One time in New York, I went into a health food store, and in that store, I was buying some things for travel, and while I was getting my supplies, one boy that was working there was constantly staring at me. So I wanted to actually go up to him and sort of start a little conversation, but he became very busy with some customers, so what to do? I left and I never got around to talking to him. Next Sunday feast, a few days later, he showed up. I saw him sitting in the crowd, so I thought, okay, that's the guy, I'll go for him. So after the lecture, I sort of made my way to that boy, sat him down, and started speaking with him. And then, while we were speaking, it turned out that he had some sort of speech defect. He was sniffing quite heavily. So I was trying to see what it was. So I was trying to see something with the teeth or what, you know. Please turn off the monster. Any telephone that rings now must be donated to the scoring. I will come off the Vyasa and come and collect it on the spot. That usually does the trick. After that, no phones ring. And I'm serious. So anyway, I was approaching this boy. Nice boy, but something strange in his speech. Sizzling sound. So anyway, he said to me, he said, I think Krishna consciousness is a good thing. It's not the first time that I come. He said, but my question is whether I'm a devotee or not. And I said to him, well, everybody is a devotee. Everybody is a devotee. Some know, some don't, but everybody is a devotee. Because the constitutional position of the soul is to be a servant of Krishna, and it's eternal. So we can forget that, but ultimately everyone is a devotee. Then he opened his mouth, and he had a ring in his tongue. Not for you, was it? And for a moment I was doubting whether he was a devotee. But now everyone is a devotee. Everyone is eternally a devotee of Krishna. Even Hiranyakasipu. Yes? Even he is a devotee. Even Putana. Even that witch, Putana. That cold-blooded baby killer of a witch, Putana. She too is a devotee. Yes, she is. And we see that Krishna took it like that. When she offered the poison smeared on her breast, she also offered milk at the same time. Krishna accepted the milk and said, she's my devotee. And therefore, Putana returned to the spiritual world, Golok, and became a datri, a nurse of Krishna. And is still eternally doing that service now. Just see, even the demons are devotees. So, but temporarily covered, and temporarily that devotee identity is a little difficult to find sometimes. But deep down, everyone is a devotee. It is with that faith that Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas went all over the world and approached all kinds of people. And it is with that faith that this movement is successful and can just convince anyone and everyone. Chinese devotees. There was a huge group of Chinese devotees right now in Vrindavan. And they were into it. Sometimes we may think, well, can Krishna consciousness go to the Chinese? But I was at the Opera House in Sydney one year, and we were doing a New Year's Eve kirtan.
And then at one point, a large group, over 100 Chinese youth, they came and they danced in the kirtan and they wouldn't stop. And they put the Indians to shame. They were waving and kicking and jumping. It's like, these Indians look like beginners. Yes? I tell you, the Chinese are taking over. Not only economically. So in this way, we see how actually for more than 1 hour, they were very enthusiastic in the kirtan, and I knew, yes, there's no doubt, Chinese can become devotees too. They're into it. Everyone in the whole world can take up Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was speaking about sankirtan spots where we can preach our Krishna consciousness. And well, there are devotees who are distributing books, and these devotees, they always talk about a special spot. Some spots are better than other spots. Some places it is easier to make devotees than other places. But Prabhupada didn't see like that. Prabhupada said no. He said devotees are everywhere. Devotees are everywhere. We simply have to find them. This is a fact. So therefore, we are not only interested in the eternal nature of the soul. That is only the first half. A little later in the Gita, we come to the verse Brahma-bhuta-prasarat-manakam-satina-shoshati. It is describing the soul who has realized his eternal nature. And therefore, he has realized Brahma-bhuta, that he is made of eternal Brahman energy, that he is an eternal part and parcel. Mamayavamsu is an amsa of Krishna. A particle, a tiny particle. Chitkana, it is said. Chitkana, a tiny particle of spiritual energy. He is. Okay, if we know that, Brahma Buddha, then we can be on the spiritual platform. As I went out of India, the security on the x-ray machine on the airport stopped me. And he wouldn't let me go. And he said, "You give me an instruction." I said, "Okay, chant Hare Krishna." He said, "No, but I want you to give me a mantra." I said, "Then you have to become a, you have to surrender." He said, "Okay, I surrender, give me the mantra." And what do you do? It was a cop, you know, so he wouldn't let me go. He wouldn't let me go. He was really strong. So then the man behind me sort of was getting impatient. He said, "What's wrong, you know? Why are you stopping him?" And he said, then the cop said, "He has to give me a mantra." Right? So then the man said, "Aham Brahmasmi." He also gave a mantra. And that worked, because he let him pass, without Aham Brahmasmi. He wouldn't let me pass without Krishna. Anyway, Aham Brahmasmi means, I'm spirit. I'm spirit. I am not this body. So that is the beginning, Aham Brahmasmi. But that is not enough. Brahma Bhutta Pratsana Manakam Chatina Shoshati Sama Sarvasa Bhutta Siman Bhakti Labhate Para. Beyond this Brahma Bhutta, there must also be Bhakti. So, until we realize Bhakti, it's not enough. So, this chapter of the Gita is laying the basis for what comes later. It's not yet complete. In the seventh chapter, actually, we come to the essence of the Gita. Maya Shaktamana Prakta Yogi Union Madhastrayaha Santiyan Samagamam Nitabhichasi Tatshinu. First verse, seventh chapter, is beginning to explain that we must become attached to Krishna. And that is the whole thing, to develop our attachment to serving Krishna. So it begins to more and more stress devotional service.
So
the middle six chapters of the Gita are dealing with the essence.
In these middle six chapters, there is the description of bhakti, of serving Krishna. The first six chapters are an introduction. The last six chapters are like a summary of the philosophy that has already previously been described. So the core of the Gita are described to be the middle six chapters. And the middle six chapters are dealing with devotional service. That is the essence. And it deals with Krishna. Matapara dhanyanya kinchitasti dhananjaya dhananjaya mai sarvam vidam sutram protam sorry yeah mai sarvam vidam protam sutramani minayiva. I'm mixing it up. So it is explaining there's nothing higher than Krishna. Krishna is the goal. Krishna is the ultimate aim of life. And Krishna is the invisible personality. So when we are speaking about the eternal position, the soul is immovable. What does it mean? He's immovable. He cannot move away from Krishna. That way he's immovable. He can never move away. In his position cannot change. He's eternal, and he's eternally reserved with Krishna, and he cannot be stopped. That's it. You can never stop being a devotee of Krishna, no matter how much you try. It's important nowadays in India also to remind people of that. We went in Connaught Circus in Delhi with Harinam, and people are looking like, you have to do that here. They're trying to enjoy, they're trying to forget. And you are doing this Harinam here? Oh, please, please, do it somewhere else. We want to be in Maya. Yeah. A second generation boy born in Krishna consciousness said the same thing. Said to his parents, he said, the problem with you is you're trying not to forget Krishna. So we are trying to forget Krishna like anything. It doesn't work. We can't. So yes, once you are born with Krishna, you can't forget him, no matter how much you try. Because actually, it goes very deep. The relationship with Krishna exists on the platform of the soul. Therefore, only a fool will not invest in the relationship with Krishna, because the whole world has become foolish. To be foolish is normal in this day and age. That is the standard now. So everyone is measuring his own foolishness to the foolishness of his neighbor, and thinking this is perfectly normal. And here we go. In Spain, there was also an Indian businessman, and he said, Krishna. I don't worship Krishna, I worship Shivas. Shivas. Yes, what to do. So, yes. So these things are going on. So in the age of Kali, spiritual knowledge is becoming very covered over, very, very much. When we are children, already it starts. It already starts, like together with the boy from next door. I stole cigarettes from my father when I was six. And did I get sick? But we did it. That is the foolishness. So it starts very early. Very, very early in this Kali Yuga. Because we see that our parents are not exactly giving the right example. Society doesn't give the right example. Superman doesn't give the right example. Nobody gives the right examples. So in the end, yes, what to do?
And it's like if Superman does it, well, then, then it's good enough for me. Yes, in this way, the whole society is going down. Whatever a great man does, common men will follow.
So we certainly need examples. So we need some people who are ready to stand up and say,
I don't drink water yet.
You pull the tree.
But no other things, no alcohol. Some people in the world have to say it's rubbish. Right. It's rubbish.
So we need some people who have the courage to stand up for principles. Most people are afraid to just speak up.
But we need some people to just speak up and
to be ready to be different.
Say, I don't eat meat. It's too much. It's outright cruel, what is going on.
I have, in the past, here in Melbourne, sold paintings for this temple in the in Leverton, which is the area where all the slaughterhouses are of Melbourne. And for 1 month, I have done them. I have sold paintings for 1 month in the Melbourne slaughterhouses. intense. The first place was a chicken place, and I went inside and I showed the paintings, and the man was cutting heads and throwing the bodies in a bin, and the heads, well, no, the bodies on conveyor belt and the heads in a bin. And I sold him a painting worth $400, and I wasn't sure to take the money because there was blood on the money. Anyway, so I put it in my bag, and when I came outside, there was a chicken on the outside of the fence trying to get inside, and I told him, run, chicken, run! He didn't listen. So this is the world, no one listens when we tell them about, when we give them good advice.
People don't listen. Chickens don't listen. People don't listen. Nobody listens. This is the problem.
But we should not become discouraged.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, we preach to the walls. Of course the walls don't listen either. But it doesn't matter. We preach anyway. Because it's important to tell people, stop. Stop causing suffering to other living beings. Because if you do, you will suffer.
The soul may be eternally in a relationship with Krishna, but if we are acting sinful, destructive, cause suffering to other living beings, they will suffer. And that can be for a very long time. Very, very long time. So that element is there. So one must be careful. And people these days, they've lost all knowledge. Knowledge is important. We need education, we need to understand. We need to understand the repercussions.
That you cannot just do anything you like. Suffering caused to other living beings,
one has to accept the reaction for it.
It all comes on the bill. So sometimes you have a restaurant, and it's a restaurant, you order the meal, whatever you get. But when they serve it, they serve really small portions. Right? It's just not enough. It's one of those restaurants, and because you're already there, you're not going to go somewhere else, and you start to order more. This is very tricky. Because as you're eating, you order more. And then at the end comes the bill. And it's like huge, right? Shock of your life. No. And you look at it and say, no, we didn't. All these things on the bill, we didn't have all these things. We didn't have all this. No, no way. We never had that. And then the waiter shows you, yes, you did. It came on this plate. Okay. But that you didn't have. Yes, you had. It came in that bowl. And in the end, it's all there. So the same with our karma bill. I never did that. I never did that. Yes, you did. On the 7th of February, 1943, in your last life. But I can't remember. We can. This is the difficulty. So the karma bill is piling up and it's getting pretty heavy. And what to do? Right? What to do? Well, Krishna helps. Do you have a karma problem? Do you need a solution? Krishna helps. That was a commercial. It has to be there. So, marketing program. It sponsors the program, you know. So, anyway, Krishna helps. It is a fact. Yeah. So, because Krishna says it, Sarva Dharmam Parichayama Kamsalam Braja Aham Tom Sarva Bhati Vyo. That's where he says it. He said, I will take away all the reactions to all your sinful activities. That means he just takes a pen and he starts scratching in the bill. Forget this, okay, let's cut this off, cut that off. So, therefore, serving Krishna solves certain problems, without a doubt. But that's not pure bhakti. Pure bhakti doesn't just mean that we serve Krishna to become free from sin, that we just serve Krishna to get some benedictions. That's not pure bhakti, that's pure business. Yes? And we go to the Lord and say, yes, take my rupee and give me a lakh. Take my $10 and just make me rich. We may pray to Krishna like this, yes. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yes. This is what we want from Krishna. So, to become free from the business tendency in devotional service is not easy. It's very, very strong. In Bombay, somehow or other, I was for the last few days, and I gave a lecture there, and somehow one of the verse was about demigod worship. Now, demigod worship, Krishna doesn't recommend it. What can I say? Kama istaisteri jnana prabhavyam deini devata. He says those who worship other devatas, their intelligence is stolen by lusty desires. Kama. Why? Because in the worship of the demigods there is a fruitive element, an element that we want some material benefit. So that's not bhakti. In bhakti you don't want material benefit. Please let my son pass his exam. Let the health, let the arthritis of my grandmother be cured. Let my cousins, and you can go over the whole family, right? And so on. Maybe I'll be blessed and blessed and blessed. Give us blessings. If that's what you came to this temple for, maybe you are at the wrong address. Maybe at the wrong address. Because this temple is not for fixing material problems. is not.
Is it not?
No, it's not. Are you sure you want to be here then? Can't we have both? Can't we just have some eternal benefit and a little bit of material at the same time? Isn't it? Yeah, it's like, so how about worship Krishna and a little bit of Ganesh on the side? Let me cover it from all angles, just in case, you know. If Krishna doesn't give it to you, and Ganesh will. Good deal. No. These Swamis are so heavy. Not even a little? No, just Krishna. Only Krishna. And no, nothing material in return. Nothing. No. We just serve Krishna only for the pleasure of Krishna. Nothing. Not for material wealth. Oh Lord, won't you buy me? I'm mercy. No. Nothing. Simple. No such things. We simply only serve Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the greatest pleasure. Is it? Is it? Are you sure? It is the greatest pleasure. Are you sure? Yes. Very sure. Very sure. That is the greatest pleasure. How to understand that? That is a difficult thing. How can one understand that the pleasure of Krishna is the greatest pleasure? And that we don't care about our own. Think of parents and their children kind of thing. That sort of makes it a little clear. Because I've seen a parent there with a delicious piece of pizza on their plate. Yeah. Really good, creamy, lots of cheese and all the right ingredients on top, etc. Serious slice. And just as parent was about to sort of go for it, there come these two little greasy hands of that little grubby kid. Just pulls at that piece of pizza, and instead of like giving him one, the parents go, "Ah, yes, my little darling." Which is like, if any grubby little kid tries that at my pizza, there'll be trouble. That's for sure. Because I don't have kids. So it's amazing to see the love of a parent, right? And how much pleasure they take in seeing the happiness of their kids. It's amazing. It's amazing. So one should see it a little bit like this. To see Krishna happy, that is the greatest pleasure. Oh yes, yes. To see that light in his eye. When he is accepting the offering that you have cooked, 3 hours in the kitchen, super offering, goes ting, 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 and you see Radhavallabha smiling like anything. That's what you did it for that smile. And who says Radhavallabha doesn't smile? They do. They do. Yes. Like that, the more we are serving Krishna, the more the deity will show us that there is no difference between Krishna and the form of his deity. The more we serve, the more we will see there is no difference between Krishna and his name. Now at the present stage, genuine Hare Krishna is a little difficult, isn't it? We all have one. But it's not so easy to just chant. How long can you chant? But when we are serving the holy name, and when we are serving the devotees, then gradually But you'll get such a taste of chanting, you can't stop. That time will come.
Because we'll begin to appreciate how the Holy Name is Krishna. So this is really what we are interested in.
Not just in Aham Brahmasmi.
The man on the Bombay airport who got a quick passage with his Aham Brahmasmi mantra,
he missed the boat.
He was in a rush. And instead of waiting nicely and hearing everything about Krishna, he said Aham Brahmasmi, quickly walked past the customs officer and moved on. And he never heard anything about Krishna. That man with his Aham Brahmasmi missed out on something. He missed out on Krishna. He missed out on devotional service, the highest taste.
So this is our focus.
Not just we are eternal. No, we are eternal servant of Krishna. That is what we think about. And that is what we live for. But you have to do it. If you don't do it, even if you get all the verses from the Gita, it will not work. You have to put it into practice. You have to start doing some active service. It's not enough to come and to simply fold the hands and pray and to put donation in the box. It's not enough. It's not enough to come for the Sunday feast and shovel it in. It's not enough. It has to come to something else. One day you have to maybe clean the floor. One day you have to maybe do some service. And when we start doing service, that's when the difference comes. That's when he actually gets a little taste. But if you go on, you get more taste.
Yes.
And then everything operates on taste. Without, how can we do? Everything is operating on bhava. If the bhava is there, if the ecstasy is there, then we can do. Because we know that. So in serving Krishna, there is a great taste. Mind you, those who do it every day, they may not experience that always. There are moments that it feels like tapasya. There are moments that it gets too much. When steam comes out of our ears. At that time, you think, like, how long can I keep on doing this? But somehow or other, carry on, go through these dark moments, because Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna is with us. Krishna, he is a person. Krishna will see that we make an endeavor. Krishna will see our personal struggle. Krishna will see. So when there is austerity in spiritual life, when there is something very difficult to do in service, then we should not give up. We should not give up. Different times in my life, they have made it a little difficult for me in devotional service. One time I was in Mayapur, and it was time for the festival, and I was helping out a little bit to prepare. I was just coming through. I was settling newly into Mayapur. I had actually just escaped from Australia, to tell you the truth.
I was here for 1 year.
And I escaped from Australia and then back to Mayapur, which was a good move, of course. Sorry, Australia. And then, when I was there, I helped out a little bit in the festival. And in the course of that, they asked me to help a little bit with construction. And suddenly, the GBC stood behind me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Do you like construction?" I said, "Not really." He said, "Good. You're in charge of all the construction in my life."
And then he walked away.
And I was in terms of all the construction mind for 6 years after that. That was intense. Lots of construction in Mayapur. They say the buildings come out of the ground like mushrooms. They say,
well,
a lot of hard work.
So, definitely. While I was doing construction, I had the moments of doubt. Yeah. There were moments that I was thinking, I'm going to quit, I'm getting out of here, enough is enough.
This is not my cup of tea, so to speak.
And it was tough. And at one point, I was very, very determined. And I even gave them my resignation letter.
So Janet Takamaraj, who was in charge at the time, he just said, we don't care about you. This is unethical. This is unethical. And I said, no, I'm quitting anyway. I'm quitting. I'm not going to continue. I quit. And then Harry Cage, who was the other GDC, he tried another tactic. And he suddenly fell flat on the ground, pulled down the ladder, and went for my feet. And he said, please. So I said, come on, Maharaj, please. I wasn't a sannyasi, he was. I said, this is not right, Maharaj. He said, please. So I said, well, okay. Well, if you start like this, okay. And so I carry on. But I had hard times sometimes, I must say. But by carrying on in the service, Krishna reciprocates. That is a fact. Krishna is there with us all the time. And surely, Krishna will reciprocate. So we should not shy away when it's not always sweet. But somehow or other, we must take the service, and the key is take some responsibility now. Not just one-time service, no. Responsibility in service, that counts. That's much bigger. That's a bigger service. One time sweeping the floor, okay. But every Sunday, cleaning the floor. Right? And do that for 20 years and see what happens. You know, after 20 years, your feet don't touch the ground anymore. No, after 20 years, just a simple thing, like every Sunday cleaning the floor, has so much effect. So taking responsibility is the key. Not just casual service, but taking responsibility in devotion service. What it is, it depends. Sometimes it is what the Vaishnavas ask us to do. They just ask us, then we do. Other times it's something that we think we can do. Whatever. But do something. Don't sit on the fence. Don't let time go by. Do something for Krishna. This life is short. And we have to take advantage of it. Now, we have the human form of life. Now, we can do something. Next life, who knows? Maybe big ears and a tail. Time flies, and therefore, I think I was just getting finished my rounds, and then I got a phone call from India. So I don't want to make it too late. So, any questions? Give me 3 seconds to come up with a question. If you don't have one, you're in trouble.
Sometimes it's the people that they call the story to Krishna that they won't be able to. Money or surviving the world. So it's sort of like pivotal in terms of someone's surrender. well, but how do you, you know, further advance the scales on the Krishna side, and less, it's like when it's ticking to materialist Krishna.
Right.
Yeah, well,
Krishna is not so heavy that he wants us to give up all material security. Right. He allows us to keep a decent place to live, keep money in the bank, and so many things. But next to that, we still have to do some service, and that can be enough to go back to Godhead. So it's not an impediment if you keep a material basis. But you have to at the same time do some substantial service and no simple activity. Then it's all right to keep a certain material facility.
Of course, there are devotees who just say, forget it, I don't want to invest in anything material, I'll just invest in serving Krishna. And Krishna will also take care. Krishna provides. Krishna arranges. Krishna protects. Krishna sends money. Krishna takes care of his devotee. If his devotee is full of faith. Sannyasis, they must live like that. They must live like, that's sannyasis, that we say, okay, Krishna will maintain me. If I would like start with a little job on the side, you know, it's like, I go out the door at night. All right, where are you going? I say, can, you know, I work in the petrol pump. Gotta do my shit then, you know, like, or drive the tram or something like that. I don't think that would really go down very well, would it? No? I can't work at the bank, maybe?
Sure. So, anyway, so the Swami is supposed to just rely on whatever Krishna arranges and Krishna sends. You say, well, you know, you got a nice guest room in every temple, so it's not so bad. Yeah, okay. One can also look for comfort, but then that comfort is not so, how to say, that's not very safe. A Swami. If a Swami starts to take comfort, then he opens up doors, and then behind each door is another door. Then he opens up again doors to enjoying the senses. So he has to be careful. Not to take more than he really needs. Mm. But others who are not in such a renounced position, it's fine. They can also go back to God. So I think the real criterion is no sinful activities and do something for Krishna. Brahmachari, stay out of trouble. That is the motto for a brahmachari. Just stay out of trouble. Why would you get into it? If you're not in trouble yet, why would you get into trouble? If we're Ramachari Mataris, stay out of trouble, whatever you do. No. Grihastha is already in trouble. And they deal with it. And that's not speaking out against women, you know, I mean, it's just the ashram itself, right, is full of trouble. Yeah. I mean, it's like there's that comic which I like, which I used to have on my website, and then somebody took it off. They just told me, why don't you put it back? Because it was like, the first picture was a baby, and it said, too young. Second picture was a couple in love, full moon behind them, said, too much in love. Next picture was a family, and it shows a mother with six arms holding the babies and the shopping bags and taking things out of the car. It shows the father also with many arms fixing the house and got his cell phone, a computer and everything, completely playing with all his gadgets and too busy. it says the picture. Next picture shows the old man,
too old, and the last picture, a cross on the grave, too late.
So that's the situation. Yeah. It's always an excuse, not to serve Krishna. So the Grihastha Ashram offers many excuses as the problem. It's always a good excuse.
Too busy with something.
No time.
Krishna.
No time for Krishna.
And it's still distractions.
Distractions. But one can minimize them, even as a Grihastha.
Because you can live on your on the basis of your natural income, or you can live artificially. If you live on the basis of your natural income, then with whatever comes, relatively easy, you will get a facility. But if you start to live unnatural, then you try to stretch the capacity of your income. Loans of the bank, add it on, live on the credit card, and increase the pressure, and just somehow or other dig yourself in under into a huge financial pressure situation, and then you sold your soul to the devil because you have no more time. No more time to go to the temple. So just no time. Gotta work, gotta pay for the car, gotta pay for the big house, and gotta pay for all the loans. And everything you booked on your credit card, you got to pay. So therefore, Grihastha can also keep things simple. Live according to his natural income. Then you'll have more time for Krishna. Less money, old car, but at least you can go to the temple.
Any other questions? Yeah.
The same how some people sometimes they take up Krishna consciousness not for so pure reasons or because they think of the material nature. What would you say to them to like after a while they just realize that oh well, you know, I take up Krishna consciousness for the wrong reason and I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
What would you say to that person?
Well, first of all, I'd say you want to enjoy it, you want to have a good time. So, this is the only place where you can have it. Because if you try, you go to a party, you want it with a headache, you may wake up next to somebody you don't know, and things like this. These are not wonderful experiences. So the only place where you can really enjoy it is here. We have the best. Does anybody have a nice living room like this? And it's a palace, right? Krishna lives here, we live here too. Does anybody eat at home what we eat? No, they don't. And pull something out of the fridge and warm it up. That's it. Most of the time. We don't do that. We have like everything freshly cooked, unlimited varieties. The next offering is waiting. So we have the best. In the material world, you get involved with some relationship with someone. You never know if this person is going to leave you all the insecurity. Here, at least, we have an atmosphere where that's not encouraged. Some security is there. You look at it all. Materially speaking, it's better here also. That's what I would say first. If that wouldn't work, I would tie the person up and make and start putting prasad on. If that still doesn't work, I can't think of next. Then I try different things. Try to give somebody, on a little more serious note, try to give someone a taste. In other words, what I'm really trying to say, there is
a lot of taste in Krishna consciousness. So that person must be blind to the taste in Krishna consciousness. So it's there. But we don't see. I have given that example of the devotees in the morning taking darshan of the deities and thinking of something else. Govinda Adi Purusham, what will be for breakfast today? That one. Right? So we're not there. Yeah. Or the Sunday feast thing. Here they serve it on the counter, but you have these Sunday feasts where they serve it out on the plate, and sometimes you sit in a row that's neglected, and you're just not getting it. And you go, hey, this here, you didn't get any rice, no rice, hey, rice, rice, puri, puri,
cheese, something,
and you go, Coca-Cola! And you're eating, but each time you're thinking of the preparation you're not getting, and therefore you, at the end of the meal you didn't taste anything because you were just busy calling people over for what you were missing out. So sometimes it's like that in spiritual life. We don't appreciate all the goodness and all the things that are, how nice it actually is. We're just here but not really here. So this is the case with somebody who wants to leave and cannot see any taste here. Taste is there, just not paying attention.
How do you
communicate
that? You know,
to that person.
Because taste is something that's
like, yeah. Well, I mean, okay, to communicate that to a person, you have to. Different ways, sometimes serious moments, sometimes with a joke, sometimes, yeah, trying different ways. And in some cases it will work, in some cases it will fail. What can we do? Some people, they come very close and then they go, we can't stop. We try, and then we have to let them go. People, after hearing everything, still want to go. We'll give it our best, and after that, no more for you. And our best depends on our purity. The more pure we are, the more convincing we are. It's not the words, it's the purity that will ultimately convince. If we have purity, that will be convincing. But some people, even hearing from a pure devotee, some people heard Prabhupada, but still they left. Some people will leave. Some people even left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva, living in Jiva's now stand to mind that we can definitely stop it. Thank you so much and see you again tomorrow morning, and then I'll be off to Adelaide and Sydney and soon back next week for more.
Thank you.
Yeah,